Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the SEO for Photographers podcast by Fuel Your Photos. It's your boys Dylan and Corey here. Today we're going to be talking about our current favorite WordPress theme.
Yeah. Which one is that?
Why, I don't know. What's your favorite?
I mean, my site's currently on Cadence, and it's on their free WordPress theme that's kind of blown up. It finally got listed in the WordPress repository a few months back, and I think I saw they passed 30,000 installs or something like that.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
For a up-and-coming theme.
An upstart WordPress theme in 2020.
Interesting. It's interesting to think about, like, what the current ecosystem of WordPress themes is and kind of where it's come over the years. That might be a good way to start this episode, so you have some context about why we're talking about Cadence specifically. And totally. Specifically, what I mean is, how has WordPress theme development changed since WordPress 5.0?
Okay, interesting. Yes, so I would even start maybe before 5.0 slightly, and I would just say that in the beginning, WordPress was very basic, and the theme would kind of dictate your design, and you'd have plugins to kind of bring in some functionality. And people wanted that platform, but kind of they all urged for more design abilities, like do-it-yourself, drag-and-droppy design stuff.
Right. So, like, even so, clarifying what you're saying even more, these early themes were designed to the point where when you install the theme, that's basically what you got. You didn't have the ability to edit much other than the text, maybe the colors, but maybe the options were pretty basic.
Yeah. When you bought that theme, you looked at the demo and you wanted that site.
Man, that's funny thinking that far back. I mean, it's not that long ago, but it's...
No. I mean, it's, I remember doing it.
Between like 7 and 11, somewhere in that range, is kind of that early adoption of WordPress, I think. Totally. I mean, obviously it's earlier than that if you're talking about the very, very early adoption, but I'm talking about when it really started becoming, it's for photographers in the photography world. I didn't really see much of WordPress before 2007.
Yeah. Yep. And then you had the kind of the era of the page builders starting to come in, and a lot of them were tied to specific themes. You had Divi, you had, what are the other kind of...
I mean, like before Divi even, it really started where these themes would have more and more complex theme options panels that would allow you to change more colors and fonts. And then they started giving you maybe some more page layout options that you could choose for each page. Then you started seeing things like Genesis coming out and being trying to be different with the way that they were using sections as a builder. Like, in my mind, the early Genesis is kind of what I think of as one of the first to go in this direction of kind of blocks that are editable individually. And then, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't really know that much about that time period of WordPress, but that's the first time I started to see it. And then you had, like, I can't remember what it was called at the time, but it's currently what Avada uses, the WP Bakery, or who knows what the heck it's called at this point.
Yep.
But anyway, that whole framework, what was it called back in the day?
I know, I was trying to think of that as well. I definitely remember buying a Genesis membership, and then I also had whatever the Theme Bakery thing is called.
Yeah, something off ThemeForest probably is where you would
exactly
have found
that. It was just absolute trash.
Yeah. But anyway, so that basically turned into, oh look, we can like add sections individually to pages to start building them. And then when Divi came out, it was even, you know, more flexible and customizable, more widgets that you could add. And then they started making it a visual editor. Yep. And then, I mean, I'm kind of going fast through this timeline, but then Elementor, and I mean, obviously even before Divi, there's more context here. I'm not trying to like give a perfect history. People are going to be like, what about Beaver Builder? Yeah. Yes, I know. There's other players in the game. I'm talking about kind of where the big trends went from Divi over to, well, Elementor and Divi are kind of like the big competitors for page builders. And you, but like, okay, go back to the photography industry.
Yeah.
because we also kind of, during this time, we've kind of skipped over the origins of Profoto and Flow Themes.
Yep, yep.
So you talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of took the ideas behind having that page builder. They both built their own page builders. They both built their own back-end customization pages. And that kind of their own process for laying out the page. And they were tailoring their themes strictly to photographers and what a photographer would need. So it made it a lot more easy, or easier for the typical photographer to just output a decent looking photography site.
Yeah. So basically you had all these different development teams working towards this goal of creating an ecosystem that made editing WordPress websites easier. And they're all working in their own direction and their own ideas of how a builder should work on WordPress. And it started to get really muddy when you start talking about, like, what's in a theme versus a plugin? Is this even really a theme anymore? And then it started to get to the point, like with Elementor, where for a theme, all you need is just a few basic files. And then Elementor is more of a theme builder than it is a page builder. And so all of these companies have been working in different directions. And then with WordPress 5, it actually happened a little bit before that with Project Gutenberg. But whenever WordPress 5 came around, Gutenberg got rolled into WordPress Core as the WordPress block editor to replace the classic editor.
Totally.
This is when things really started to change.
Yeah. And for, like, on the technical side, it makes it, in my opinion, easier for developers to build blocks and sections of a WordPress site and give them functionality. And it, from a WordPress user extent or side, I think it makes the, it gives me the functionality in the WordPress backend to actually create a website in the way that I'd always had wanted, more or less, kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to think, like, WordPress as a, what do you even call it? Just like WordPress itself, with all the developers working on this open source project, saw that all these private companies were like, hey, we want to build in sections for every page. We're having to create these page builders to build like this. And then, you know, WordPress looking outside of WordPress and saying, look, everything is going block-based from, you know, just things like React over to things like Squarespace, right? Like, all of these things are widget / block based sections. But WordPress still had this really weird, clunky editor where it's like you open a page and you've got this open big white box with the kitchen sink at the top of all these different options you have. And that's it. And then to add to that, you either had to take over with a page builder, or you had to use advanced custom fields and things like that to add, like, sections and do all this custom coding. So WordPress is like, you know, if this is the direction everything is going, we've got to get ahead of, or not even get ahead of it, we've got to catch up and create a framework that allows developers to start creating block-based themes, block-based designs. That should be a core element of WordPress. And so, with much friction, they made it so.
Yes. Yeah. Our developer friend talks about that being like the end of WordPress. Like, the fights that happened during that development process are in they ruined WordPress for him. But
yeah, but it's interesting because I think a lot of that ended up, so it took a while for people to start coming around to, okay, well, we've got to start developing for the block editor. But then, especially, you know, 2020, as the pandemic was hitting, I feel like a lot of these software companies that were now on lockdown but could still sit there and develop and didn't really have anything else to work on, or maybe they were laid off their job and they had to go home and start coding or whatever. I don't know. It just seems like there was a huge wave of people who were starting from scratch working on WordPress block first themes.
Yeah.
In my mind, Cadence is currently one of the front runners in that space. It's interesting because I would say maybe they're the first popular theme that decided to go block first without regard for Elementor and other page builders. Because you had Astra, you've got a page builder framework, you've got several others, Ocean. They were all created to be easily added onto by page builders like Elementor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cadence comes along, they're like, that's not our priority. We'll try to make it easy for you to use that, but actually our priority is the block editor.
Yeah.
And we're going to make some blocks to go along with it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like they're the first, or one of the, not the first, but they were one of the best underdog teams to go after that. I am surprised Genesis was a huge early supporter.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A few of the main, like, big theme companies heavily went towards block editor, but
I'm still wondering, why did Cadence break out? Like, why didn't CoBlocks that, or Atomic Blocks, which one of them was bought by GoDaddy, and then another one was bought by one of the other big companies.
GoDaddy has an amazing theme.
Yep. Well, isn't it called Go?
Yeah, I think so. And it checks a lot of boxes.
Yep. I'm surprised that, with that kind of funding, they weren't able to take Go and CoBlocks or Atomic Blocks, I can't remember which one, and run with it and like really get it to take off.
Yeah.
I think maybe one of the things that drew me to Cadence in the first place, first heard about it from my friend Scott. They were using it at Imagely as a basis when they were trying to get rid of page builders. And he was like, listen, this is legit. You can do pretty much anything. And this was a really early days of Cadence when he told me about this. And I kind of sat on it and left it alone for 6 months or something. When I came back to it, I was using Astra at the time. And the reason I switched over to Cadence was because Cadence in the free theme was making it possible to build the types of headers that you could only build with the pro version of any other theme out there.
Yep.
And so I was pretty much set with the free option giving me better flexibility than any of the other premium themes that I was messing with. And I was like, well, that's cool. And they had the blocks to go with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was, for me, the same thing. The headers and footers are great. Like the core of its theme does everything I want. But then I checked out their blocks and was blown away because it replaced, I think I was running one or two aftermarket or premium block sets, and this one just does it for me.
So, okay, let's talk a little bit about, now that we kind of did a little bit of a history lesson, kind of what landed us on Cadence and why we're here and why it's important. What do you like about Cadence overall? What are some of the other things?
So I would say that the lack of bloat is pretty nice. You can tell that they develop in a way that performance is on their mind. If you're in their Facebook group, you'll see people posting their different page speed insights tests and GT metrics scores. And on the typical Cadence site, it's like sub 1 second loading times. It's just, it's wild in comparison to some of the other themes that you'll see out there. So that's great. And then I think that the way that they keep all of the styling decisions and layout and everything that's typically in like your theme settings inside the WordPress customizer is like, that's like what seals the deal for me.
I mean, that's how WordPress themes should be developed at this point.
Exactly.
I feel like Ocean and Astra were some of the first to like, take that concept mainstream. Obviously, people who are developing in WordPress for a long time have been like, listen, that's the whole reason for the customizer. But all these themes kept trying to push a separate themes panel, theme options panel. And started finally saying, let's put it all in the customizer.
Yeah, I'm so used to being in the themes that don't use the customizer that like I would just never open it because it would be overridden and wouldn't work and didn't have the proper preview and didn't have any settings that were useful.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction to make right there, is that a lot of the themes that photographers are used to, Flow Themes and Profoto included, are overriding what would normally happen within the customizer and forcing you to do it through their own interface.
Yeah. And I will say, in general, the small teams are designing an interface aren't going to have the results that a large, more or less open source project like WordPress is going to do. Like, the WordPress customizer, I think, is a much better experience than the typical third-party theme settings panel.
And you have to, I mean, like, I understand why these specifically for photographer websites were trying to make their own theme options. They're listening to the feedback that they're getting from their specific customer base and saying, here's the options they want to edit, and let's make that all in one place for them within our theme, instead of like trying to figure out how to make it more intuitive to use WordPress's, in that time, somewhat clunky customizer.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, we're there now, right? Like, now it just makes sense to use the customizer. It's become pretty much standard procedure for theme development. What I love about it, like, to take it a step further, is that the customizer options are congruent with the block options. They seamlessly work together. So you can set defaults in the customizer, and then they carry through to the pages and the blocks. And that you can, you know, once you select your defaults within the customizer, you can override those defaults in the right places within blocks, but it will recognize that there was already a default set. Like, this kind of communication from customizer to block options is exactly how I feel it should work.
Right. And, like, taking that, like, even further, just the fact that it has global styling. Like, so often on the other kinds of photography platforms, try changing all of your headings or changing your color palette. Like, if you wanted to try a dark theme or some dark mode or something, it would be a nightmare. Like, you're probably gonna have to go into individual pages and start changing some stuff. You're gonna have to track down, like, probably do custom CSS. Like, Cadence just makes that, like, hey, here's three clicks and you can see what, like, a green theme for your site looks like, or here's navy blue. Yep. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely, in my opinion, that's how, if you're going to be using WordPress, if you're going to be developing for WordPress, this is the direction that the future of WordPress needs to go. And I think Cadence is even still staying ahead of it, or maybe not ahead of it. They're sticking with where things are going very, very well. Like, I think that the release of the cloud, was it just called Cadence Cloud?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that they're seeing that developers want to create, they don't need to create themes anymore. They need to create layouts. And, like, people who are trying to sell designs to businesses, like photographers, don't really need to start with a theme. Cadence is like, let us handle that for you. Here, you just create the layouts and the design assets, and then you can deliver them directly through a plugin. This is how I think it should work, and it makes a lot of sense. And I think they're just very current with how things should be done within WordPress development.
Yeah, they've been super agile.
It's funny. I bet that someone who's listening to this who knows way more about WordPress is going to be like, that is so not how it should be. I mean, there's different opinions. To me, it works well with the way that I think about WordPress. Let's put it that way.
Yep, I agree. And then I think the last bullet point that I have about what I like about Cadence would be their support has been both in their Facebook group, and I saw that they have a forum that we both commented we haven't even had to use because we've had no issues. I think I posted two different questions in their Facebook group, and I received answers from either the owner or his wife within maybe 15 or 20 minutes. One of them required some custom development work to solve my issue, which was their menu wasn't working if you enabled AMP. And it was kind of a complex fringe issue that most people don't use AMP and won't need that. And he still agreed that that was something that they should solve. And I think it was in their next update, like a week or so later.
It'll be interesting to see how that continues now that iThemes has acquired them.
That's the problem with all things on the internet is they always, anything that's like working out really well in the young days of a company, they get bought out, and there's always that risk of it sliding.
Right. So, I mean, this is something that I feel like we should have started the episode with this, but
right.
I like Cadence right now. It doesn't mean that I think Cadence will be the number one WordPress theme of all time. Like next year, we could have a different option out there, and I'll say I'm switching everything from Cadence over to this new option. Next month, that could happen. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to follow, you know, who is trying to move WordPress in the right direction for making it easy for users and designers and all this stuff. So I think Cadence is on that path. Whenever they get acquired, it takes the decision making potentially out of the hands of, you know, a smart developer who had a vision for a product and started implementing it. Whenever that becomes successful, there's kind of something magical there, you know, like a small agile team that just is working on what they believe should be done. And then they get money and lots of users and community feedback and people nagging them about feature requests. And what do you do with that, right? Like, do you stick to your guns and say, nope, we're doing it our way? Or do you start to kind of morph to the ecosystem that iThemes needs to support their products and the customer base that, you know, will make more money for the investors? Or I don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the history of this sort of project would point a slightly downward trajectory, but who knows?
At this point, everything seems fine. We don't have any reason to think like that's going to be the end of Cadence. It's only seeming like things are ramping up so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just
more development resources.
Yep. I just worry that it will get bloated or too far off this path of the reason I first wanted to get on it. I was trying to run AMP on my entire site, and I needed a WordPress theme that was AMP friendly, and, you know, just by default with adding the AMP plugin. And Cadence, when I installed it and made some stuff with Cadence blocks and then turned on AMP, everything looked exactly the same. And I was like, wait, what? This never happens. Everything was just automatically AMP valid. That's not true of all of their blocks even now, but I worry about seeing patterns like, the table of contents block was AMP valid and now it's not. Why is that? It's probably because they had to add some features or make it look a certain way because people were asking for those features.
Yep.
How many other blocks are going to not be AMP valid in the future? But then now my question is, does that even matter as long as the, you know, the Core Web Vitals scores are passed? Do we even care if it's AMP valid?
Exactly. Probably not. Not as much. Yeah, that's
it's a weird time to be thinking through these issues.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Yeah, we got off track a little bit there, but
a little bit.
That's okay.
Yeah, a little bit. We kind of covered what problems Cadence solved briefly, just that Gutenberg was kind of this scary idea to most WordPress developers and users. And Cadence showed that it's possible to completely build based around the block editor and have an easy-to-use website experience for both developers and users. I think that it's been pretty, in my opinion, I've seen a lot of designers start working with Cadence, and at first they're like, oh, this is really limiting. And then they realize, wait, no, this is extremely powerful because once you do build on this platform, I don't know. It solves so many problems. Like I don't know how to say that, but,
I think it's interesting if you've worked with Gutenberg at all or the block editor at all on any kind of default, like let's say you install 2020 and you just start building something, trying to use only the block editor, builders whatsoever, no extension plugins for the block editor, just plain block editor. It's rough. Painful. You have to know CSS to get it to do anything other than maybe, I think there's a default like font size control, and then there's some blocks that'll let you kind of hack your way around things like dropping in a spacer block because you don't have any padding and margin controls, and
yeah,
just like weird. It's very, very limiting, and that's on purpose, right?
Yep.
WordPress is trying to develop something that can sit at the core of any theme. It should work with anything out there, right? It's the default editor. So it has to work with everything. And so they have to make it simple. And what they're enabling is companies like Cadence Blocks, or plugins like Cadence Blocks, CoBlocks, Atomic Blocks. I've already said those three. There's like dozens of these. They're making it possible for these companies to say, okay, now we're going to take that default and we're going to add the options for you. Here's our opinion of how options should be. And it lets WordPress be what WordPress should be, which is the ability for developers to add all kinds of different customization options for all different kinds of audiences. So anyway, that's, yes, Gutenberg by itself is very limiting. And I think a lot of times when people first start using Cadence, they're like, oh, this is just the block editor. It's limiting. And then you start to play with like the row layout block and the advanced heading block. And you're like, oh, I see how I can use this to make the design exactly like I want now. The options are there and they're still simple and they're not overwhelming. And it just, yeah, it works.
Yep. And I think the last little thing I have here is it gets rid of most of the page speed or core web vitals or page experience issues that a lot of photography themes are going to see. I'm looking at my site now. Mine's going to be a bit different because it's AMP. But there's just so little CSS or JavaScript required. It's just absolutely minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking back to other frameworks. Squarespace, Showit, Flow Themes, Profoto. You're going to have a hard time competing with this performance. Divi, any page builder.
Yep, exactly. And I've already kind of said this about how the customizer is congruent with the block editor, but I think it's important to state this again. I like the fact that Cadence has been very minimal with their design of the interface for the you know, while you're editing, the editing experience. They're not trying to create some new block builder. Like if you use Divi and then go try to use Elementor and then go try to use Flow Themes, especially, I mean, you know, whether that's the Flex builder or the older themes, try to use Profoto 7 or whatever they're on now. Like these are all very, very different editing experiences with lots of design in the interface. And Cadence is like, no, we're going to try to keep it basically just looking like default WordPress layout. You know, it looks like WordPress, and that I like that.
Yeah, I do too. What do you think could be improved about Cadence?
Yeah, well, first of all, like I said, I feel like more, I wish they made all of the blocks, or at least the majority of the blocks, AMP valid out of the box. At least I think, yep. I wish that. I don't, I can't get to where I am.
I know, right? I know, same.
But
I agree. I mean, Atomic Blocks is fully AMP valid. I think there are a few other fully AMP valid blocks, but you're right. It's an interesting, it was kind of a bummer to have my site fully AMP valid and then to check back a few weeks later and like, oh no, this is now flagged and this is now flagged. And like,
you can't use your table of contents, or
yep,
you've got to go.
Or you can't hide it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah. 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 I think that the pricing is extremely hard to figure out.
So true.
Do you need pro? Like, should you just buy specific plugins?
What is this, Cadence membership versus Cadence theme pro versus Cadence blocks pro?
It's really bad. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I hope iThemes streamlines that without just raising prices or doing something silly, but that needs to be kind of straightened out. It feels like a weird mess of tangled offerings that they've completely, like, thought out separately.
Yeah, whenever I knew that I was going to build probably at least a dozen sites on Cadence and I was going to at least use it for a couple years, I didn't mind paying the $169 a year membership price. To me, that's just a fair price. And
yep,
when I'm using it on dozens of sites potentially. It's negligible for each site.
For sure. Yeah, if you're a single photographer, that might be, I mean, that's like buying a brand new Pro Photo or Flow theme or something every year, which I guess a lot of people do. I'd say it's fair that most people design their site or redesign it every few years, but I've seen photographers do it once a year.
Yeah, but I mean, you could get just the free Cadence theme and then go Cadence Blocks Pro if you wanted. Like, I use Cadence Blocks Pro because I like the PostScrid block.
Exactly.
And there's maybe a couple of other blocks that only work on Pro that I use pretty often.
Sounds a game changer.
Yeah. So $60 a year is much more reasonable if you're just planning on using some of the few Pro blocks that you need. And honestly, a lot of people could probably just get away with the free blocks too.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was trying to say earlier about, like, they're offering more for free than most things do in their premium offering.
I agree. I mean, I think I've seen a few sites that are just the free theme and the free blocks that were completely fully built out.
Yep. I definitely have.
Yeah. They could definitely have some more starter sites. So they have a plugin where you can just like import complete, fully built out starter templates. And you can do the whole site. You can do single pages, and then tweak from there. And I think they only have like what, 6 or 10 or something.
Yeah, there's only a handful of decent ones.
Yeah, I agree. They could keep building that out a little bit more.
And they will, and they are. And there's also the cloud now. And I think more and more designers are going to start jumping on the Cadence bandwagon. I think that's, honestly, that's what's going to really propel this forward. I mean, we're at, you know, 40,000 installs over 6 or 8 months or something like that. Of being in the repository. And I think it's probably going to kind of grow exponentially to some extent whenever some of the bigger, more popular designers start releasing industry-specific themes, or not themes, but layout packs or whatever they call them. It's going to grow fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for the cloud. Just giving designers the ability to create those like single page layouts, single section layouts, and sell those. It's going to be amazing. Let's see here. We definitely are going to list a bunch of our favorite Cadence photography sites in the show notes. We did a post in our course group, and I was kind of blown away with how many people have switched over to Cadence.
I've been surprised. Most people have given me the feedback that they really enjoy building with Cadence and that they found it intuitive. Yeah. I probably sent at least, you know, 50 or 60 people to Cadence who have actually gone with it. And out of those, I'd say less than 10 have gotten back to me and said, I find this is overwhelming. It's not going to be for everyone, but I'm surprised by the number of people who are like, oh yeah, this is easy.
For sure. Yeah. It's been great to see. I can't remember how many times, but at least a handful of people where I've had a call, a consult call, and I'll be like, yeah, maybe consider a theme change, and this is what I'm liking, and this is kind of what I would do. And then like over the weekend, they completely rebuild their site in Cadence. Like, yeah, how's this look? Like, and it's mind blowing.
Better than what you had instantly.
Right? Totally. Yeah. I did want to bring up one topic where I think one of the benefits of Cadence that from a pure SEO perspective, is that we've seen quite a few of the drag and drop page builders in the photography space have sizable issues with how Google renders and understands their content. We first saw this with Showit, where we'd have an SEO client and we would create some content for them that we were sure it's going to rank, or they already had this existing content and they're wondering why it's not ranking. And we look at it and the difference between how it looks to the user and how it looks to Google when they crawl and try to decipher this page, was sizable. Content would be out of order. Content might be missing. It just, wasn't laid out properly. A lot of this comes from JavaScript or just however their page builders outputting code and then changing it behind the scenes. And we saw this a bit with Flow Theme's Flex Blocks as well. So I was not that excited when Flow Themes decided to scale Flex into entire themes and sites, because I've seen this issue and I've seen the real world ranking differences that people have had when they build on that sort of platform, for the worse. So Cadence gets rid of that and is just straightforward HTML that's properly formatted and Google understands. So that's a huge SEO benefit, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree. Good points.
Well,
Maybe one thing we can mention is that we just mentioned that there's going to be more and more designers coming on board, but we've got some people who are already developing for Cadence in the photography space, or maybe not developing, but like creating designs. We have like Nina has made a couple of themes already, or our designs already that you could buy. Carissa, we'll link to these people in the show notes, has at least one or two. Melissa Love has said that she's got one coming soon. The person from, is it Restore 316, I think, they are popular for, they did a lot of feminine Genesis themes, and now she's making a bunch of stuff on Cadence. So there's already at least, you know, five or six options you could choose from that would get you started with a design that looks professional and designed that would be great for a photographer.
For sure.
I would say within 6 months, you'll probably see at least a couple dozen options available.
Yeah.
But right now there's at least a handful. So starting from a design might really save some headache if you don't want to build something from scratch.
That's awesome.
We've also seen a few people in our course group who have had a designer create something for them just in whatever design software they like to use. And then they've gone to something like the Cadence user group on Facebook and found someone to just build that design out for them on Cadence. So that's an option as well. You know, you can always have someone build it for you if you don't want to try to learn how to use Cadence from scratch.
That's awesome. Yeah, I reached out to Cadence, I think it must have been almost a year ago. And I wanted to do similar, where I had a design from a designer and I just wanted them or somebody to just build it for me. And they were so busy at the time. And they said that all of their designers were currently like 8+ months out. But the community has grown so much and there are so many more people building on Cadence now that it's actually something I should look at again.
Yep.
Well, cool. I think that's pretty much our thoughts on Cadence. It's the current favorite of both of us. That likely will change at some point, but for now, Cadence is a pretty good way to go if you're on WordPress.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I would end with is don't get caught up on having to be loyal to Cadence, but the things that we've talked about in this episode, things about if I'm picking any WordPress theme right now, I'm going to be looking for someone who is developing for theme options to be inside of the customizer. They're creating custom blocks for the block editor as probably a separate plugin. They're lightweight and potentially AMP friendly, putting performance at the core of their development process. These are the big things I'd be looking for. And so there's a lot of players that I would imagine are probably, there's probably at least a dozen companies that neither of us have even seen yet that are what's going to be next that already is out there, right? It's just, maybe it's got a few hundred users or something. That's how Cadence started. So, I mean,
totally.
They're out there already. If you see one of these and you're like, oh, should I use that instead of Cadence? I mean, do some research and figure out how it works for you. If you know enough to not be happy with Cadence for any reason, you should probably know enough to know what you're looking for. But yeah, for now it's great. And I'm going to keep my eye out for what else is out there. One more question for you. Sorry, I know we were trying to wrap it up, but I just thought of a question.
I had one more thought too.
Okay. So my question is, what are your thoughts on stacking WordPress block plugins?
Yeah, I was actually going to, my question was similar. My thought process when you said that, like, hey, like, this is just what we like for now, but there could be something else on the, in the future, was what would a migration from Cadence look like? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that changing the theme itself would probably take 15 minutes. I've changed many sites over to Cadence theme, and you pretty much just have to go through and set up your fonts, set up your color palette, set up your header and your footer.
And like defaults of widths and sidebars and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tiny, like, basic setup. And so that would be expected changing to a different theme, but I'd probably have to leave Cadence's block plugin live until I rebuilt in a different plugin if I was choosing to do so. Yep. And so if I was going to a different platform or like a different theme and block plugin, I'd probably have to run both side by side, at least for some amount of time.
Which is kind of what we're doing with the Feel Your Photos site. We've still got Elementor on some pages.
Train wreck. Yeah. So yeah, I think that that would probably be okay in the short run. I don't think it's the best case, but...
I think my biggest really concern for that in general is the security risk for things getting outdated as time goes by. I don't think Cadence is in any trouble with that in any time soon, especially since they just got acquired by a major WordPress investor. You know, they've got years and years of development runway at this point. But like, I've seen so many of these security issues, especially there's one particular company that keeps making these, it's like ultimate add-ons for, and there's Elementor and Divi, like whatever, the ultimate add-ons suite. It just keeps having security issues that keep getting hacked and creating backdoors and all that. I'm like, I've seen so many people who have installed Elementors and then ultimate add-ons for Elementor or whatever, and they keep it running because Elementor didn't have quite the widget they wanted, so they decided they would install another plugin to get this one widget. I advise against that.
I almost wonder if that company's a front for like some hacker group.
Right.
Especially when you realize that like those Elementor Pro plugins are just like special styling to existing Elementor blocks and shit. Like, it's nothing complex.
That's pretty much what anything is though now with any kind of block plugin.
Exactly.
But I mean, I don't know. I think it goes back to this mindset that people have. I always talk about this when I talk about Squarespace compared to WordPress, where if you're trying to build something on Squarespace and they don't have the block for you to build it, Squarespace users don't say, oh no, I hate this, I'm getting off of Squarespace. They say, oh, okay, I can't build that, I'm just going to do something else. Whereas on WordPress, people are like, oh no, they don't have this one widget, I'm going to go find another plugin that does have that one widget. They don't say, oh, I'm going to work within the constraints of the one ecosystem I've chosen. They say, we'll keep on adding to this with products made by different developers and different companies. And it just makes a mess in the end, you know?
This plugin is 6 years out of date. Are you sure you want to activate it?
Exactly. But anyway, I do think it's probably fine. I mean, WordPress had in mind this idea of a block marketplace. If you go and like search for blocks, like as you're adding a block, you can actually search for blocks within that little interface. And there will be results in there that are from things you don't have installed. And you can install a plugin for a single block. So WordPress set it up so that that could be possible. I don't think that that's inherently an issue. I think it's just an issue of people not doing any vetting of these companies or whatever that's building this software and then letting things get out of date and having more to worry about as far as security risk and conflicts. And the more you add, the more complexity you get, and the more complexity you get, the harder it is to maintain. So for me, WordPress has to be simple. It has to be my theme, maybe a child theme if I plan on doing custom development, block extender. So for me, Cadence blocks, an SEO plugin probably right now. I'm actually going back to SEO Framework for some of my sites. We haven't talked about that yet, but maybe that should be an episode of the podcast.
Yeah,
but
we definitely should.
Anyway, and then maybe like WP Rocket and some other security plugin or something that's for anti-spam. Like, I'm trying to keep it under 10 plugins on pretty much all of my sites. The more I add, the more I get anxious about when I update this, is it going to break? And the nice thing about Cadence is you could literally get away with just the Cadence theme and Cadence blocks and nothing else, and you could still have a nice website.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing.
Anyway.
Well, cool. I think that pretty much does it for Cadence. Let us know in the comment section if you have a Cadence site that you've built. And if not, check out the selection of Cadence sites that we're going to feature down below.
Sounds good. All right. See you guys in the next episode.